Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always blessed to be with you this morning. As Mother Valerie and I come forth today, Mother Valerie don't know it, but she may be doing the whole show because your host is a little bit under the weather this morning. But I just wanted to make sure I told you good morning. And even though I may sound something else, I just want to say thank you for tuning in with us this morning. Mother Valerie, good morning. How are you this morning?
Good morning. I'm doing well. God is good all the time.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. And so, Mother Valerie, I am turning it over to you. Take us to the throne as well as take us through our word this morning. And we will be coming from Hosea chapter 5 and 6. Our psalm this morning is the 139th psalm, verses 1 through 6. Our proverb this morning is chapter 29, verse 19. And we'll also be in 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 21. And our title is coming out of 1 John chapter 5. And it's... Excuse me, y'all. It is for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. So, Mother Valerie, I am turning it over to you.
Father God, this is the day that you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. It's a beautiful, beautiful morning. Lord, I thank and praise you for who you are in our lives. Heal Pastor Bridget, touch her body. For God, you came with healing in your wounds when you said we are to grow up like a cow out of a stall. You sent your word to heal, deliver, and set free. You took 39 stripes for our healing. So it's already done. It is done. She will feel better. She will feel the healing power of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And God, I just thank you for the word. I'm to do the whole word this morning, and I just thank you and help me, God, with the word. Help me in Jesus' name, I pray. Thank you, Father, for a gorgeous day. I mean, I saw the sunrise this morning, and it's just beautiful when you look out. It'd be dark, dark, and then all of a sudden the sun rises and light. Let there be light. And light comes. It's just beautiful, the things that you do. I appreciate you. I appreciate you, Abba, for you are Father God. It's just wonderful to see the sun rise, and it's wonderful to see the sun set. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. I'm in Hosea 5 and 1. Hear this, O priest. Take heed, O house of Israel. Give ear, O house of the king, for yours is the judgment, because you've been a snare to mischief and a net spread over Tabor. The revolters are deeply involved in slaughter. Though I rebuke them all, I know Ephraim, and Israel's not hidden from me. For now, O Ephraim, you commit harlotry. Israel is defiled. They do not direct their deeds toward turning to their God, for the spirit of harlotry is in their midst, and they do not know the Lord. The pride of Israel testified to his face. Therefore, Israel and Ephraim stumble in their iniquity. Judah also stumbles with them, with their flocks and herds. They shall go to seek the Lord. They will not find him. He has withdrawn himself from them. They have dealt treacherously with the Lord, for they have begotten pagan children. Now new moons shall devolve them and their heritage. Blow the ram horn in Gibeah. the trumpet in Ramah. Cry aloud at Beth Avon. Look behind you, O Benjamin. Ephraim shall be desolate in the day of rebuke. Among the tribes of Israel, I'll make known what is sure. Prince of Judah like those who remove a landmark. I'll pour out my wrath on them like water. Ephraim is oppressed and broken in judgment because he willingly walked by human precepts. And that's something we shouldn't do. We should consult our God. Don't walk by your own knowledge. Ask God for wisdom. And he will give you the wisdom that you need to do the things that you need to do. Therefore, I will be to Ephraim like a moat, house of Judah like rockness. When Ephraim saw his sickness and Judah saw his wound, then Ephraim went to Assyria and sent to King Jarvis. Yet he cannot cure you. Only God can cure you. I know a lot of times we go to doctors and they do help, but it's God that do the healing. Medicine, got to give men wisdom about medicine, and they can do wonderful things because God allows that. But in the end, the healing comes from the Lord. If it's not God's will for you to be healed, no, I don't care how much medicine you take. Like all week long, I know my voice, I hope it's sound okay, but I've been taking NyQuil and Mucus Plus because I was out there in the rain. My voice sounds, I hope, you know, good. But you cannot cure yourself. It's God who cures you. You nor heal you of your wound. You can't heal your own wounds. For I would be like a lion to Ephraim and like a young lion to the house of Judah. I will tear them and go away. I will take them away and no one shall rescue. When God do something, nobody can rescue you out of God's hand because he's God. I will return again to my place till they acknowledge their offense. All God wants you to do is when you do wrong is to repent. Repent of what you do and ask God for forgiveness. He said, I will return again to my place till they acknowledge their offense. Then they will seek my face. In their affliction, they will honestly seek me. Number 6. Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has tore, but he will heal us. He has stricken, but he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up that we may live in his sight. Let us know, let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. So they really acknowledged what they had did. They said, come, let us return to the Lord. He's tore, but he will heal us. His going forth is established as the morning. He will come to us like the rain, like the latter and former rain to the earth. O Ephraim, what shall I do to you? O Judah, what shall I do to you? For your faithfulness is like a morning cloud, and like the early dew, it goes away. Therefore, I have hewed them by the prophets. I have slain them by the words of my mouth, and your judgments are like light that goes forth. For I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. God will give you mercy. He said, for I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. For like men, they transgress the covenant. They have dealt treacherously with me. Gilead is a city of evildoers and defiled with blood. As bands of robbers lie in wait for a man, so the company of priests murder on the way to Shechem. Surely they commit lewdness. I have seen a horrible thing in the house of Israel. There is the harlotry of Ephraim. Israel is defiled. Also, O Judah, a harvest is appointed for you. When I return the captives of my people, God, all we have to do is repent before the Lord. If we repent before God, then God would forgive. and he will forgive. And, you know, we fall down, but we get up as if you repent and ask God to forgive you. All you have to do is say, Lord, I'm sorry for I've transgressed against you. And God will forgive you. Life lesson, Hosea 5:15. In their affliction, they will earnestly seek me. God does not use affliction because he enjoys it. He uses affliction because sometimes that's the only language we understand, the only warning we will heed. Hosea, Life Lesson 6 and 3. Let us know, let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. We should never go by human knowledge. Our own knowledge, think that, oh, yeah, I worked this out. I did this. No, like Solomon, ask for the wisdom of Almighty God, and God will give it to you. Seek God's wisdom, not your own. Hosea 6 and 3, let us know, let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. Our highest pursuit in life is to get to know the Lord for who he really is. While we can do much of this on our own, God directs us to pursue him together with other believers who also love him. He said, don't fail to gather yourself into the house of the Lord with other believers. A lot of times, if we will go to the temple or the church, we will learn things from our pastor because she's a believer. It said, gather yourself together with other believers. Life lesson, Hosea 6 and 6. I desire mercy and not sacrifice and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. Repeatedly in the scripture, the Lord tells us that while he has no desire for half-hearted religious ritual, he greatly desires hearts on fire for him, those who will joyfully love God and love others. That's what we're supposed to do, is to love God first. And if we love God, we will love others and we'll want to help other people. I mean, that's what we're here for. That's our mission in life, is to love God. And why wouldn't we love God? God is a wonderful Father. He wakes us up. He put a roof over our heads. He gives us provisions, a car, transportation, takes care of our children. God is a Father, and he's just a good Father, a good Father. God is just good. He's really, really good. I am in Proverbs 29 and 19. A servant will not be corrected by mere words, for though he understands, he will not respond. 1 John 5, 1 and 21. Whoever believes that Jesus is Christ is born of God. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. That's the title for today. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And 1 John 5, 1:21, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. That's the only thing God wants us to do. If he asks you to do something, then do it. I remember Moses, when he was talking to Moses and telling Moses to go out and do something. So, you know, Moses was telling God, send somebody else. And God told him, I'm sending you. Moses asked God to really send somebody else. He said, because I'm a man that can't talk plainly. I stutter when I talk. But God, can't you send somebody else? And this is what we're saying. Keep God's commandments. Do whatever God wants you to do. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. That's the title. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that have overcame the world, our faith. And faith is just believing. We have to believe that God is, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek after him. We have to believe God. I mean, they talk about the Big Bang Theory. Well, who made the Big Bang? It was a bang? No, it was God. God is everything. God made the heaven and God made the earth. And the earth is the Lord's footstool. God is everything. And whoever don't believe that, well, we have to pray that they learn that before they die. Because there's only God. We are going to live again. And
Mother
we want to be.
Excuse me, Mother Valerie, and you were talking about the Big Bang and God. You know, I always say God has a sense of humor. NASA, you know, NASA has all these space probes and everything flying around in the universes and going into other galaxies and whatever. And there's this one that they happen to get that looks like a smiley face out in the universe. And I laughed. I said, that was this guy saying, y'all think y'all doing something, but I'm in charge. And put up a smiley face out in the middle of nowhere. And I just got so tickled. I said, God, don't play. Big smiley face. It looked like it had two big old eyes and a big old circle around it. It was another galaxy. But from a distance, it looked like a smiley face. And I had to laugh. I said, God will show you every time that he's in charge. And again, one of the pros got it looked like an eye. It was this big, huge, but it looked like an eye. I said, you know, we don't know where the eye of God is. We don't know that God is always watching, always listening. He knows everything because he can be in more than one place at a time. So we got to be grateful that God loves us so very much that one gave his son for us. And I'm already in prayer, Pastor Mother, that I know that I am healed by those 39 stripes. I know I am healed by the blood of Jesus. I know that I am healed, hallelujah, because I trust in God and I have faith that all things are well and I am grateful and I am getting off because I'm getting ready to start coughing again. But I just want to say thank you, Mother. I know that you are God's sin. So that when times like this, as I say, times like these, we need a Savior. God has sent me a Savior in Jesus Christ. But he sent me a friend and a mother and a co-host in you. So I am grateful that you are able to take over this morning so that I can rest. And so I thank God for you, Mother. And I just want you to know from my mouth that I appreciate you. And I'm turning it back over to you so that I don't cough all over people this morning. So thank you, everybody. Please continue listening. Mother Valerie has a word for you from God. Thank you, Mother.
And we know, too, Pastor Bridget, that you're going to bring the word on Sunday. So you have to, you know, save your voice for Sunday, and God will be there. If you're there, I'm there. God said, when two are gathered in his name, he's in the midst, so God will be there too. I'm on verse number 5. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is true. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree as one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe has made him a liar, because he's not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. When we say that he have a witness in himself, we have the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit in us. God has given us the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. We receive the Holy Ghost and we speak in tongues, we receive God's spirit. So we take God wherever we go, wherever we go. He who does not believe has made him a liar because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his son. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his son. He who has the son has life. He who does not have the son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. We have to continue to believe in that name into the very day we die, or into the rapture occurs, until we are caught up to meet him in midair. If we go by grave, then those that are dead in Christ will rise first. Those that remain will be caught up, and will all be caught up to meet the Lord in midair. We have to believe. I mean, really, truly believe. We have to know that we know that he is the Son of God, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We have to know this. We have to believe it, and we believe it by faith. We believe. And we have to believe into the very day we die. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. We know that. We believe that. Life lesson, 1 John 5:3. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. We need to keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. Only when we try to obey God through our own power do his commandments feel burdensome. When we rely on his spirit to enable us to do what we can, we find great joy in obedience. Obey God. Obey his commandments. I'm not saying when we do everything and obey God that we won't have trials and problems with our body. We will, and some of us do. But we still need to obey God to the very day we die. Obey God. Obey God. Abba, Father, do what he's telling you to do. 1 John 5:12. He who has the Son has life. Have you asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart through faith, forgive you of your sins, and give you an eternal home in heaven? If you haven't, you have. If you have, you have life. If you haven't, you don't have life. And then when you die and see that God's word is true, I want God, when I die, to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want to be, when I hear the trumpet sound, if I'm here on earth and haven't died, I want to be caught up. I don't want to live this life in vain. I want to be caught up, and I want the Lord to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I mean, that's what we're trying to do and striving to do, is to keep his commandments, obey God, do what he say do. A lot of times, who are you trying to please? Are you trying to please people, or are you trying to please God? I want to please God, and I want to help people, but I want to please God. Life lesson, 1 John 5:20. The Son of God has came and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true. God helps us to grasp his word, not merely so we can amass an impressive body of religious knowledge, but so that we can come to know, love, obey, and enjoy the God of the universe. God made the heaven. God made the earth. And yet and still, he listened to each and every one of us. God can listen to all of us at the same time. That should let you know that he is God, and he answered prayers. I mean, can you imagine all the people everywhere in Africa, in Germany, in America, everywhere. God listens to all of his children at one time. I mean, that just blows my mind to think that God can do that. But he can, because he's God. And we still bow down to only one. There's only one God. And they talk about Buddha and all of this stuff. That's not real. It's not true. And when you make something with your own hands, like a calf or a wooden statue, and bow down to that, that's not real. It's not true. We need to know our God. And all you have to do is say, Lord, I'm seeking. Reveal yourself to me. Let me know, really know who you are. And if you do that, God, he won't refuse you. It's just like Solomon when he needed wisdom. He said, God, I'm just a mere child. I'm just a child. And to rule all of these people, so great a people, Lord, give me wisdom and understanding. And God told Solomon, because you have not asked for the lives of your enemies, I will give you wisdom. And when God say, I'll be with you, then that's the truth. I'll be with you. I will be with you. And if you think about it, he's with us anyway because he's inside of us. When he gives you the Holy Ghost, God is with you. He's with you. The Son of God has came, has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true. God will help us so that we can come to know, love, obey, and enjoy the God of the universe. God loves us, and he wants us to love him. He wants us. We are children. And, you know, just like your earthly children, you love your little children. We play with the babies and come here, baby. And we want our children and our teenagers and our young people to obey, to be obedient. And that's the only thing that God wants. God wanted a family. And we are the family. We are the children of the Most High God. We really are. We are his children. And we shouldn't rely on human knowledge. You know, just rely on God. They were talking about relying on human people, you know, like when you have a problem. Go to the throne. Don't go to the phone. Ask God first, what shall I do? A lot of times we do get in predicaments or we get in trouble and we don't know what to do. We don't know which way to turn. Well, we need to turn to the throne. We need to turn to God. Ask God what to do. And God will tell you. I'm in Hosea 7:1. When I would have healed Israel, then the iniquity of Ephraim was uncovered and the wickedness of Samaria, but they have committed.
Mother, excuse me. That's tomorrow's lesson. That's tomorrow's lesson. But, you know, for today, if we go back up to verse 16 of 1 John chapter 5, you know, I saw that and it says, if anyone sees his brother sinning, a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask and he will give him life. For those who commit sin, not leading to death. There is sin leading to death. I do not say that he should pray about that. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is sin not leading to death. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who is born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. It says we know, because, again, we give the devil a whole lot of credit that he don't deserve. You know, when we get sick, we want the enemy just doing his, you know, we got sick because we was exposed to somebody else who was sick. Or we were not taking care of ourselves. So we got to, you know, you can't blame everybody else and you can't blame the devil or everything. We got to be careful of doing that. And I do see you, Evangelist, and I will be opening your line very shortly. And it says this, it says, we know that we are of God. And the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. Because we know that this is, because he came to earth and that he does his devilment. But remember, you know, where we want to give the devil credit for stuff, we got to remember that a third of heaven came with him. The ones that are the most powerful, God put them, he chained them up in the pit. They are not able to do dirt. And I believe that the archangels and the angel thrones and those that were the most powerful that came with Satan, they are chained because they would wreak havoc on this planet. And God said, no. It's bad enough that I allow Lucifer to run free. I can't allow y'all to run free too. So there are those that are chained right now. There are angels that have fallen that are chained that will never be loosed until the end of day when they will be judged. We have to be very careful, but we give the devil credit when it may not be the devil. It may just be another archangel or another angel that fell with him that's doing the devilment, because the devil and angels can only be in one place at a time. And when we know that, we don't give credit where it's not due. You know, some mistakes are our own mistakes, and we can't blame nobody but ourselves. And it tells us, too, in this word, it says, we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. And when we remember that, the whole world lays under the sway, we've got to be prayed up. And he said, we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. And then he tells his little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. And that's like, okay, it's finished. I done told you what to do. Because John did not play. I done told you what to do. Stay away from idols. Mother talks about it. You know, you're going to build a calf. You're going to build a this. You're going to build a that with your hands. And then sit down and pray to that piece of wood. Come on now. Truly. That piece of wood is nothing but a piece of wood with a face on it. A piece of wood with an animal on it. But it's still a piece of wood that was made by the hand of man. And it's not God. And it's not a God. And it's not anything but that, an idol, a piece of wood. And John told you very shortly, little children, keep yourselves from idols. And then he put that emphasis on it. Amen. So we got to know, stay away from stuff. You got to be careful. And Mother, thank you so much for this day. We're going to be finishing early this morning. It wasn't a big word today, but it was a good word today. So I thank you so much, Mother Valerie, for taking over. Evangelist Teresa, your line is open. Evangelist,
hello?
Your line is open. Yes, your line is open.
Hello? Oh, how are you today?
Hello, your line is open.
How are you today?
Evangelist,
you hear
Teresa? Me? We can hear you.
This is Jacqueline.
Okay.
How you doing?
We can hear you. We can
this
hear you.
This is Sister Jacqueline.
All right.
I was enjoying the lesson today. I just wanted to add that we must always be, or for me, what helps me through my health issues is having hope in God's promises and really like focusing so much on those promises. It gets me through, because you know how we pull out those certain scriptures, like by his stripes you were healed, and even the story of the man laying by the pool.
Hold on just a second.
And
this
Jesus.
Is Jacqueline.
Mm-hmm.
Mother Valerie, excuse me, can you mute your phone? Because we can hear stuff in the background. And if Jacqueline,
honey,
you have something
not
else
me.
On.
I can hear stuff in the background.
Sister Jacqueline,
that's not me.
Sister Jacqueline, you got TV or something in the background that needs to be cut off.
Sorry.
I'm
traveling right now.
Okay.
So
that's fine.
I was hoping my earphones.
That's better. Thank you, Mother Valerie. Thank you. Now it's better. We can hear you clearly.
I said I'm I always think of the man who was by the pool, and he couldn't walk, and he just made a lot of reasonings why he couldn't get up when Jesus came. And all Jesus told him is, do you want to be made whole? And I just think about that lesson. I've been looking at it. Some people have been preaching about it. But that lesson right there is all you need is that little bit of faith, and God will heal you at that moment. And he was able to take the task of getting up and getting his mat and walking all the way to the pool. Now, so the lesson in that is that, yeah, Jesus, he could have carried you. He could have right then and there had just, you know, made it much more easier. But, you know, the whole thing is that if we don't have faith, we don't have anything. That's our connection to God, is faith and hope. And even in my illnesses, even if I am aching for that moment or those moments that I'm focused on Christ and I'm focused on the hope and the glory, I don't feel no pain.
Amen. Amen. Pastor, I like to read Psalms 139:1-24. How many times have we heard someone say, Jacqueline, Jackie, turn it down.
I got it. All right. Go ahead, Mother.
I want to read Psalms 139:1-24, God's desire to communicate with us. How many times have we heard someone say, why would God want to speak to me? I'm not a preacher or in full-time Christian service. Why in the world would he want to communicate with me? The truth is, we are all saved by grace. We are all washed and sanctified. We are all saints. We are all children of the living God. Father just naturally wants to speak to their children. Fathers just naturally want to speak to the children. And that's, like you say, why would God want to speak to me? It's that fathers just naturally want to speak to their children. Unfortunately, we often see ourselves in an unworthy light. And when we do, we wonder why a great, magnificent God would even want to speak to us. In that case, God would scream in our ears, but we will not hear him. We must see ourselves as God sees us, that is, as children who need him to speak, who need to listen, who need guidance every day of our lives. If we have a pauper-like image of ourselves, wondering why the God who created the heaven and the earth would engage in meaningful conversation with insignificant us, then communication sets down the marvel levers at best. It all depends on relationship. We are children of God. We are children of God. And our Father honestly seeks to speak to all of us. Psalms 139 provide us with marvelous insight into the Father's perfect knowledge of us and his abundant love. God has so much love for us. I don't think we know. I don't think we realize how much God loves us. Just the way he loves us, just the way we are. He knows how we are made. He knows our weakness. He knows our sinful desires, and our transgressions are not hidden from him. He knows our innermost hurts, fears, frustration, and yet he longs to be intimate with us. Jesus has chosen to put his unmatchable presence into these scarred earthly vessels. He's at home in these tattered earthly tents. We need not be ill at ease, but instead we can relax and enjoy his fellowship, knowing that he died. He died. I don't think I would die for nobody, but he died for us while we were yet hopeless sinners. He has permanently accepted us into his family with all our undesirable baggage. We are his, lock, stock, and barrel. We belong to the Most High God. We are children of God. We belong to him, and he belongs to us. And, you know, like when you go to bed at night, and even if you're driving home and you get fearful, just start talking to Jesus. Start talking to God. And there is no fear. Everything is peaceful. And when you go to bed at night, just start talking to the Lord, for we belong to him. No hurt or harm. Ministering angels of God, encamp all around about me. Let no hurt, harm, or danger come to me in any kind of way. Keep me safe as I travel up and down these roads. And God will do just that. God is God. He's a good God. He's a Father. He's Abba. I just love to, you know, say, Abba, Father. Lord, help me. And he will. He really will help you. So talk to God. Let him love on you. And God will. I'm going to turn this back over to Pastor Bridget, and she's going to get words from Carolyn. And today is just a beautiful day. And as you go along your way, think about God, the God who made the heaven. He made the earth. The earth is his footstool. This magnificent, this awesome, this great God is willing to talk to you. God don't see you as you see you. God see you as he made you. Turning it back over to Pastor Bridget. God is good.
Yes.
He's
Thank
good.
You so much, Mother Valerie. Validity. Anyway, the word from Sister Carolyn is our word that we start every day with. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Have a thankful Thursday is our word for today. And this is the day that the Lord has made. God is good all the time. He loves us. He loves us so much. And we have got to just know that God is so good, and he loves us, and he wants the best for us. And so I am getting off today, and I'm just letting everybody know that this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. I'm going to have a thankful Thursday, for I know that I am healed by the blood of Jesus, and so are all of you. Mother Valerie, it's early, and for those that are coming in late, I'm sorry, but all I got to say is, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. It's a wrap.
It's a wrap. It's a wrap.
Love you, Mother. Thank you so much for today and taking over. Have a blessed day, everybody. We done said it once, we done said it twice, we done said it a third time. It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
I gotta go to the doctor. Have a great day.